O come, all ye fearful. Fear might not be the first theme we think of when we think of Advent. And then again, it was a recurring theme in the birth story of Jesus. So too can it be a recurring theme in our lives as we approach Christmas today. Christmas is steeped in traditions, both religious and cultural. When our lives change, maintaining those traditions or meeting the demands of the cultural traditions can raise fear and anxiety. Even as we prepare for the birth of the Prince of Peace, this can be a very stressful time of year. So as we extend our invitations to come all ye to the manger, to witness and testify to the birth of Christ again this year, we need to keep in mind that our invitations won't all be received the same way, and that the experience of coming will be different for everyone. We have to remember that Jesus was born into a world of uncertainty, a world of pain and grief and fear. In fact, one could argue that Jesus was born because the world was a place of uncertainty, pain, grief, and fear. O come, all ye fearful, is a reality of this season into which Jesus was born and a reality for which Jesus died and was raised again. It isn't difficult to locate fear in the gospel accounts of the first Christmas. Each time the angels appeared to announce the coming of the Messiah, they began their announcement with the words, "Fear not," or "Do not be afraid." In Luke 1, starting in verse 26, we have the angel Gabriel appearing to the young girl named Mary, who was betrothed to a man named Joseph, to announce to her that she will become pregnant with the Son of God. What did she have to fear, right? Luke 1, 26 through 34, hear these words. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. The kingdom of his will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." Mary's response here is not just fear. She is greatly troubled, it says here in Luke's gospel. Not only has she been greeted by an angel, which I would contend is enough to strike fear in my heart, at least, she has been told that she will give birth to the Son of the Most High. She will conceive this child by the Holy Spirit while she is betrothed to Joseph. Lots of things to be troubled about if you are one Mary. She's a teenager. She's just a kid. She's betrothed to a man that she's probably been betrothed to for years, an arranged marriage in her time. As we learned in Bible study this week, lots of things have happened in their life together in this betrothal process. There would have been a sum of money paid to the father of the bride, another sum of money paid to the held for the bride herself as a sort of life insurance policy. And then there's this contract that they draw up, bringing them together. And in the midst of this, Mary is visited by an angel and told, "You will conceive a child by the Holy Spirit. This child will be called Jesus and will be the Son of God." Mary not only has to contend with the fear of these things coming in her life, she has to fear of how they will be seen. She has to tell Joseph that she's pregnant, knowing that the child is not his. Mary's response is just not fear, she's troubled. Not only has she just been greeted by an angel, all of this I have already said, but of course she is afraid. Mary has to pray that this bit about the angel and the Immaculate Conception will be accepted, if not by anyone else, or at least by her fiancé, or her life is in a shambles. Mary's response is one of great faith. She simply trusts God as her faith has taught her to trust. You continue reading where I left off in Luke, you get Mary's song, Mary's response to this call, and it's beautiful. Read on. In her fear, she turns to her faith, and she trusts God. Then in Matthew's gospel, Mary's fear, at least for how Joseph will handle this news, is cared for. Matthew 1, 18 through 21. This is how the birth of Jesus the Messiah came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." Now we have Joseph, a man of good standing in his community, betrothed to a young woman from a neighboring village who has informed him that she is pregnant before their wedding. This is trouble. Their laws and their traditions make this a lot of trouble. In fact, the law says that Mary should be taken to the doorpost at her own home and stoned to death for her infidelity. But the scriptures say that Joseph was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace. We see a man of compassion and kindness, chosen of God to be the earthly father of God's own son. He knows that this child isn't his, but he also knows that when it is discovered that Mary is pregnant, there will be a problem. Then an angel appears to Joseph in a dream and tells him not to be afraid to take Mary as his wife. Once again, not only has Joseph been visited by an angel, something that certainly could be frightening enough, he has been reassured that all he fears about Mary and about what she has told him will just be okay. In my mind, he has to be thinking, this is not okay. It might be a lot of things, but it is not okay. But the angel says, "Fear not, for God is with you." And when he woke up, he did as the angel told him to do, taking Mary as his wife and all that came with it. In this one story from two very different perspectives, God cares for the things that Mary and Joseph fear. the most. We can be confident that God was with them just as God promised to be. We can also be assured that in the years between Jesus' birth and the beginning of his ministry, there were many other things that Mary and Joseph encountered in their lives with Jesus that brought them fear, and God met them in that fear each time. We are in the season of Advent, the season when we are preparing in all kinds of ways for the celebration of the birth of Jesus Christ. As much as Advent is a season of hope and peace and joy and love, it can also be a season wrought with fear. For those whose Christmas will be different this year because they have lost their jobs or their source of income and don't have the means to do the same things that they have always done or the things that they wish they could, there's fear that Christmas won't be special for them or for the people around them. To you, God offers these words, the same words he offered to Joseph and Mary through the angels: fear not, for I am with you. As you gather with family and friends, know that the gift of your presence is more important than the presents you bring. While the world has made Christmas all about the stuff, the celebration of Jesus' birth isn't about the stuff. It's about God's presence with us and in us. The real gift of Christmas is love, God's love for us and for each other, given through us. There are also ways that the community can help make Christmas a little more special on the material side of things as well. There are ways that people, generosity this time of year makes possible some reassurance in both worlds. For those whose Christmas will be different this year because their family is different, there may be some fear. The kids have grown up and moved away. Or family has changed through the pain of a breakup or a separation or a divorce. Or there's been a fight or a falling out, and this Christmas will be awkward and uncomfortable. You may be approaching this Christmas afraid of those family gatherings, or worse, afraid of not being included in those family gatherings. To you, God offers the same: fear not, for I am with you. Jesus came to restore our relationship with God, a relationship that had been broken for centuries. In doing so, he demonstrated that grace is enough. I cannot stand up here and promise that all that has been damaged in the last year will be healed by the miracle of Christmas this year, but I can promise that the grace that God has offered through Jesus Christ is enough to bring healing over time. And when we return to the Romans passage in this place in the message, we hear God saying that Christ came not that we would have a spirit of fear, but that we would have the spirit and the confidence of children of God. When those family gatherings come, go. Get over the awkward, go around it, go over it, go under it, get there. Because the reality that the Prince of Peace is born on Christmas is true. And if there is a season when mending broken relationships can happen, it's this one. Go and say, I know things have been awkward, but I love you. Even though it's awkward. Pray that the grace of Jesus Christ will change your heart and the hearts of those around you, and that God, and know that God goes with you. For those whose Christmas will be different this year because someone will be missing. Perhaps we are afraid that the pain that comes with loss and grief will be too much to overcome this season. Or maybe we are afraid that our pain and our grief will somehow cast a shadow on this season for the people around us in our lives. And our tendency is to withdraw, to choose to be alone in our loneliness. To you, God offers the same words the angels offered Mary and Joseph. Fear not, for I am with you. As we approach the manger with the fear that comes with loss and grief, we know that with the birth of Jesus Christ comes the light of hope that even death cannot overshadow. As we celebrate, we are reminded of the hope that comes in knowing not only that God is with us, but also that those we have lost are with God. And somehow that brings us together. Fear not, for God is with us. So you have not received the spirit that makes you fearful slaves. Instead, you have received God's spirit when he adopted you as his own child. Now we call him Abba, Father, for his spirit joins with our spirit to affirm that we are God's children. Along with love and peace and joy and hope, the reality is that sometimes this season brings with it the all too real reminders of the suffering Paul talks about in the end of Romans. And since we are his children, we are his heirs. In fact, together with Christ, we are heirs of God's glory. But if we are to share in his glory, we must also share in his suffering. While God didn't necessarily intend fear to accompany Jesus in his birth, God knew then and God knows now that the world is not without fear. Through Christ, we are offered and receive a spirit that makes us able to face our fears, knowing that we do not face them alone. God is with us. One of the names given Jesus is Emmanuel, which means God is with us. Even when we walk through seasons of life accompanied by fear, in the end, hope and joy will win the day. Jesus' death ends in resurrection so that our death can end in the same. Fear not. God is with us, and God will remain with us always. Fear not.